This is Richard Roth with The Passage on WGXC. My guest this month is Maureen Penvern, who has a shop on the corner of 7th and Warren Street, where she shows her original clothing designs and paintings, ceramics, jewelry, hats, and well worth a stop as you make your way along the street. After the interview, music by the Sonny Rollins Quartet with John Coltrane. Maureen had asked me to play a specific piece by Sonny Rollins, which was not available to my limited means of converting things from the internet. Tenor Madness. It's a fantastic piece, and if you happen to be a person who likes following along scores, as I do. Someone named Carlos Marguerite has transcribed some of the solos from the piece, and you can find them on YouTube. CarlesMarguerite. I'm giving this recognition because to me it must have been a prodigious task. This is Richard Roth with The Passage on WGXC, and I am here with Maureen Penvern.
That's right, Richard. Well done.
Thank you. So here we are at the corner of 7th and Warren. So one thing I always like to find out from people is, how did you arrive in Hudson?
My first visit to Hudson dates 20 years ago. I was walking down the street. There was not much here. But there was a little portrait in the window across the street, and that I loved because it represents a young woman from Brittany from the 19th century, and I fell in love with that little painting.
And this is this little painting on the wall.
So I bought it, and here I am now. We're back across the street. She's right here, and she could be my grandmother.
You just came for a visit 20
years
ago.
Yeah, well, I got lost. I got lost off the highway, and I ended up in this town. And I thought it was a beautiful town, quite desolated, but beautiful. And then 11 years ago, after I gave birth to my son, I always wanted to come back up here. So my ex-partner and I, we got a little cabin in the woods around here. So I moved here with my son for a few years, and I really fell in love with the Hudson Valley. So that's how I came around here.
And up until that time, you'd been living in Manhattan.
Yeah, I've been downtown Manhattan for about 27 years.
And you'd come directly from Paris to New York City.
Well, I was born in Paris, and I grew up in Brittany. My father is from Brittany, so the early years of my life, I was in Brittany, and then I left Brittany to New York City, yeah. I left the rural hills of Brittany to the Lower East Side. It was quite a shock, and at the same time, I felt completely at home. I felt like I belonged there, and then my life started, really.
And that was in 1990.
That's right, 1990. And spending the last great decades in the Lower East Side, I think, the 90s, yeah.
And you were, at that time, already an artist, and you were painting there?
Well, I've been a painter in my teens. I love to paint. I love to paint, but I didn't call myself a painter. I didn't really know I was a painter until I met other painters when I got to New York, until I met all those artists I was living with. And then I thought, well, I guess if they do paint and call themselves painters, I'm a painter. I would never call myself an artist. I would call myself a painter. And I got a job as a painter, and I was making my living as a painter.
And then alongside that, when did you start becoming interested in fashion?
I've always been interested in fashion. As a little girl, I would collect images from magazines and do collage. I would cut them out and do collage, and I would always love to cut into fabric, to make a tableau on pillows for my grandmother. But I started to make clothes out of necessity, really, when I was Well, I was very cold at one point. I had no heat, so I cut up something into some wool I had laying around, and that was the beginning. I had a sewing machine.
And that was in New York?
That was in New York.
So you'd already learned to sew, obviously.
Yes, I learned how to sew when I was a little girl. And learning how to sew with a machine is very easy, by the way. A lot of people seem to be intimidated by that, but I would say go ahead, because it's not that hard. You just have to have a steady hand.
And so then, when did you start selling clothes?
So after this first experiment, I started to really... I started to like to make clothes, and I started to make some jackets. And I would have my neighbor come over and draw my silhouette on the wall, and I would have to figure out how to take this one-dimensional drawing to a three-dimensional piece of clothing. So it took a lot of mistakes and adjustment, but I got to make a pattern, and I made a jacket, and I would wear my jacket, and from that day on, people, you know, would ask me to make jackets, and then my partner had a dream to have a store, and I think he projected that dream on me, and he said, "You should have a store." So I said, "Okay, let's have a store," and we opened this beautiful place on Orchard Street. That was in 2003. And that was the atelier after my name. And what I'm doing here is really the continuation of that.
Now, was that on the street level?
Yeah. Yeah, it was on Orchard between Stanton and Rivington. And it was really fun. So I would make clothes there. And I also would have somebody to produce a few pieces in Midtown. And I learned as I was doing this. I learned all the threads.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot to learn. I mean, how to cut on the fabric and so on.
Yes, how to cut in the right direction. And so, yeah, and just like anything else I've done, I learned on my own, trying to figure it out on my own, making a lot of mistakes. And I think mistakes are essential to become what we want to be, because without them... we don't really learn anything. And that's something lacking today. I guess there's no room for mistake. There's no time for mistakes. But I think they're essential, and we have to take times to make them. Don't you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
Now, I suppose you had access to wonderful fabrics in New York.
Yes, I would. I discovered Moods about 20 years ago, and that's a great store. It was pretty inexpensive at the time. It's not so inexpensive anymore. Moods Fabric on 37th Street, between 6th and 7th. It's a great store, but now I have to find different sources of fabric that are delivering fabric continuously. And because at Moods, you know, you have leftover designers, and then you may buy a few yards, and then... soon enough, you don't have that same fabric to continue your production. So it's nice to make samples or to make more one of a kind, but for production, I had to look for other sources and mills. And so most of my fabric now comes from a mill in Italy, the wool, essentially, and then the cotton, I get it from Japan. Yeah, they're making great cotton in Japan.
I guess they always have, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a tradition. It's beautiful fabric, great quality. It's really the place for cotton for me.
They have a showroom in New York?
Yes, there's a company I work with in New York that represents the mills right in the garment district. It's great because everything is in the garment district. The cutter, the production, the fabric, the zippers, the buttons. So it's very condensed, and I can just go there once a week and then do everything that I need to do. It's an amazing neighborhood, and it's one of the neighborhoods in Manhattan that really never changed. It's still full of people who are actually really working with their legs and hands. And you may see me from time to time carrying a, you know, 50 yards of fabric on my shoulder crossing the street. in my high heels. That happens.
And you go pretty often to New York.
Yeah, I go every week. And it's great because it's so close by. I can live here, enjoying my life here, and then keep my relationships in New York City and work there. It's pretty ideal, actually.
And so I suppose you drive so you can bring things back with you.
Yeah, I drive. I like to drive.
You were telling me you were involved in a fundraising project?
Yes. I'm doing a fundraiser in order to complete my third collection. It's a very exciting project because I got to meet, first, I'm involved in dance, and I've been involved in dance for a long time and worked with wonderful choreographers and some of the best dancers in the world. So this led me to meet the wonderful Wendy Whelan, one of the great ballerina in the world. Wendy Whelan and I met here. She came and visited me in a store. And from that meeting came the idea to work together. And I proposed to make this third collection with her as my muse. And so that's what I'm working on. And I need a little help to do this because as independent designer, I don't have any backing. The store allows me to bring some money, but it's just not enough. So that's why I need a little help from my friends.
And so how are you going about this?
So I did an Indiegogo campaign, and I made a beautiful video featuring many of those great dancers, including Wendy. And it's on my Instagram at Marine Penvern. So check it out and check out the campaign. It's a lovely campaign. I think I have something for everyone if you want to contribute.
Spell the last name so that people know where to find it.
Very good idea, Richard. So my name is Marine, Marine Penvern, P.S. Peter, Envern, Marine Penvern. Not like Marine Le Pen. Don't you call me Marine Le Pen. Like my son does when I'm upset.
And that's on Instagram.
That's on Instagram, and there is a link to this campaign in my bio. So come check it out and contribute. Help an independent woman to make her dream come true.
Well, it's wonderful to see a shop like this in Hudson.
Thank you. Thank you. And I really feel the love because I've been so well welcomed here. It really warms my heart. It's a wonderful experience. It's a wonderful adventure. I love living here. I love my life here. I love this community of incredible people who come together. I made so many friends. I can say I met and made more friends in the last 6 months I've been here than in 10 years downtown Manhattan. Because here, you really meet people. And then they're inviting you for dinner in their home. Well, that doesn't happen in Manhattan. You know, you may meet people, but next day they totally forget about you. So I like this community. It's really down to earth, and that's the life I like to have. I used to have this life in the Lower East Side. It was very much community-oriented back then. But that kind of thing is gone in New York City, I mean, as far as I know. But here,
I think so. The gentrification sort of drove everybody away.
Definitely. And, you know, a lot of my friends are gone. Some of them moved here, too, so it's great. And I really tell my friends to move up here, you know, to have a better quality of life. And this town allows me to do whatever I want to do.
And you particularly like music.
Oh, yes. I have a passion for music all my life. It's funny, I came to New York City because when my father was, what do we call it? The meaning is to be a maniac for music.
Was he a musician himself? Or just
he was a very frustrated musician, just like I am, but he was, he wanted to be a musician, but he didn't get there, but he was always befriending musicians and going out to see music, and he had a great collection of records. So I grew up listening to all this great jazz. He was very fond of that music, and especially modern jazz quartet and Archie Shepp and all this great jazz from late 50s, early 60s, and but of course Louis Armstrong. And so and my mother was a big classical nerd. She loved classical music and opera. So the music was blasting at my house all the time. Sunday morning was Handel, so loud. My mother would vacuum her house listening to Handel so loud. So, you know, those records had great stories in the back, and I would read those stories, and all those recordings were made in New York or New Jersey. I was interested in the biography of some of those artists. And so coming to New York for me was the most sensible thing to do. Also, the cinema influenced me. The whole culture coming from New York City was something so, so exciting for me. So I moved to New York, not knowing anything, not speaking English, really. With a few hundred bucks in my pocket. I'm really like the typical immigrant, you know, living in a tenement in the Lower East Side. But then I caught up very fast. 6 months later, I was fluent. So when I came to New York, first thing I would do is going down to the jazz club. And I really penetrated that world. And still to this day, I you know, any chance I get, I go down to the city and go listen to great music. This is still the mecca for jazz and great music in general, but especially jazz. So I met so many wonderful friends among in that community. And I also picked up the saxophone, the alto, and I don't practice enough, but I love to pick up the saxophone and just hold notes, you know, working on my tone. And I love to whistle, and I like to sing. And coming to Hudson, I immediately connect with the musicians here. And there's a wonderful group of musicians working right here today, here in Hudson, rehearsing every day. Those guys are playing every day at the samba ensemble with wonderful musicians from Uruguay, from Serbia, from Japan, from all, you know, all corners of the world, right here in Hudson. So it's for me, it's so exciting because it's like the United Nations, this little town, upstate New York. I play the drum with them. It's this wonderful group of guys. We rehearsed at this wonderful, wonderful drummer, Gunga Badila. So we rehearsed at his home. He opened his home to all of us, and it's very fun. So I don't rehearse as much as they do. But they are really working on something very tight, and it's wonderful. So we're gonna probably play out at some gigs in Hudson and get this music out. So I'm a learner here. I'm learning, and I get my chops. I have actually my hands are hurting today.
Well, the Badillas are certainly well known and beloved for their drumming here in Hudson.
What a wonderful family. Meeting the Badillas is a highlight of my new beginning in Hudson, for sure. Wonderful people, yeah.
And you met them sort of soon after coming?
Yeah, my djembe, the skin on my djembe was broken, so I was looking for somebody to fix my skin, to replace it, and then Gunga showed up, and that's how I met him. And then I met his mother and his brothers and sisters. And so meeting them here really inspires me. So thank you, the Badillas. Thank you. That's for you.
Looking around here, I see a lot of small paintings, portraits that you've done.
Yes, I love making portraits, small portraits. And they are 6 by 8 inches. And the oil on canvas.
Now, are these drawn from life or from imagination?
From life and also from memory or imagination. Most of them, I just sit in front of a mirror and paint them. And so on each one of those portraits, you see a different outfit. And it's the outfit that I made. So a lot of self-portraits. Self-portrait is one way to know myself better, one way to keep a painting diary also of myself through the years. And also I can rely on myself, self-reliable.
Right, your model is there.
My model is always present, so...
And then you also do these large abstract paintings.
Yes, so what you see here, the few paintings that belong to a series called Symphony Spring. So it's a very abstract and colorful and...
And sort of musical, actually.
Yeah, that's why I call them symphonies. It's very musical. I agree with you. And then you have something else that is also semi-abstract, that is a triptych that I made last winter, depicting some extraordinary landscape mixed with some city landscape. Maybe it's a painting that expressed my in between the city and here.
Now, you were telling me you spent time in a studio in Chatham.
Yes, when I came up here last year, so I moved in September here, and I thought I should get a studio and paint and draw and recoup, because I left New York City in a hurry, I have to say. I was squeezed out financially. I couldn't do what I wanted to do.
You were still on Ludlow Street at this time?
No, I was in Tribeca. Paying too much rent, everything was too expensive, and I was not in business. So it was not sustainable, it was not making sense, and I thought I should leave, and I should move upstate. So I came up here, and I rented a little place not a little place, actually, it was a great space in Chatham for $200 a month. So that's, to me, real freedom, you know. And I started painting and drawing the whole winter. And it was wonderful because I haven't done this in years. And I actually didn't even have a place in New York City to paint anymore. So that was a wonderful time. And a time of reflection. And I'm very happy I had this time to be alone in a studio for the winter. And I was quite prolific, and then spring came, and I thought I should look around to have a little store for my collections that I have been working for the last 3 years. I thought I should have a store again, because I really loved what I had going on Ludlow Street 10 years before. I have to say, I closed my store because I had a child, you know, so I took a 10-year off to raise him. And so I'm resuming what I left off professionally. And so I found this corner here, and I took it. I'm very lucky I found this place, because it's a very good rent, it's a nice location.
Oh, it's a beautiful location.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
And it's very bucolic, the train comes right here, and sometimes it seems like the train is just going to come into the store. That clock is great. I'm always on time here.
Now, looking around, you have some items that are one of a kind.
Yes, so this is an atelier. I have 5 machines and a cutting table in the back. So I do one of a kind. You know, I have a series of coats that I make, and none of them are the same. You know, I would come in the morning and think, oh, maybe I'll make a dress today. And then I'm thinking about what fabric I have here, and I'm just going to draw something and then cut it and put it together and see what happens. If it works, I just put it out in the store, and then hopefully somebody will buy it. And then if it doesn't work, I just, make it work somehow. And then I have small productions of jackets and pants that I make with this wonderful person in Midtown with whom I've been working for the last 15 years.
And for something like that, you'll do how many, a dozen pieces and more than a dozen?
Well, I'm very lucky because this person, his name is Raju, is an excellent tailor. He was a tailor in Bangladesh, very skilled man, and came to New York and started to work making small production for designers, a lot of very simple stuff, but it's extremely skilled. And I was referred to him by a girlfriend of mine. And I started to work with him for my store in the Lower East Side. And I had him made some jackets. And I would draw something on paper. And he would make a pattern and make a production. And it was so, so well made. He's so wonderful.
I was tremendously impressed the first time I saw one of your jackets, how well it was tailored.
Yeah. And this man does that. So now his business grew. He's got 30 people working for him. At the time, he had two, but he's still so loyal to me. And I go to him and I say, Raju, I need two pieces of that, three pieces of that, and he's always there for me. So that's really wonderful to have that happen. I couldn't be in business without him. And I don't think I would find somebody like him in Manhattan today. So to me, the success of a business is not really the amount of money I bring in. The success, the real success, is the relationship. The relationships I forge through the years. And that is a success. And I don't care who says, but if you don't make any money, what kind of success? You know, the money comes. The money is the results of that, but I enjoy what I do, and that's the success for me. I enjoy what I do. I'm meeting wonderful people. I'm meeting my clientele also, which is very important for me. I meet my clientele, my customers. I build relationships with them. They know where to find me. It's about trust also, and I love this kind of small business. You know?
Now, do a lot of people who come into the shop are people who are visiting from the city also?
Well, I would say half and half, you know. Of course, this town is changing a lot, and a lot of New Yorkers are coming on weekends. My most interesting customers don't necessarily show up on weekends. They would show up on a Tuesday when my door is open, knock on the door, and come in.
And you've got some things that are unisex.
Yeah, well, my coats are unisex. Jackets are unisex. I make skirts for men also. And it's been done a long time before. There is a good reason for that. I thought of making a poncho after the earthquake in Mexico and giving the proceeds of the sale to this great organization down there.
And where does that... it looks like a sort of blanket wool, the poncho.
Yeah, it's wool and it's a beautiful design. Yeah, it's like a blanket around your neck.
Geometric.
Yeah, beautiful radiant colors. And I work a lot with boiled wool. That's really my thing because...
With which?
Boiled wool. I love this material because I can cut into it and also it's, you can really sculpt into it. It takes shapes of the body. It's very flexible. And then, when you cut into it, you don't have, like it doesn't, the edges don't... fray, right? That's the word I was looking for. So it doesn't fray. I can sculpt with that material, and this morning I came into the shop and I cut into some fabric and made a dress. I'll show it to you. And it's my homage to Azzedine Alaïa.
So it's almost like a kind of a felt feel to it.
Yes, but it's a knit that is boiled, so it shrinks, and then when you cut it, it doesn't fray. So you don't need to finish the edges.
So what we're looking at is something with a very pronounced shape at the hips.
Yes, there's two spikes coming out at the hips. So it's very architectural, and it's very centered, tailored in the waist.
Now, when you make something like this, do you have a favorite size to make dresses in, or do you make them in different sizes?
Well, when I first make a piece, usually it's my size, and it works because I'm size 8, so it's a little bigger than sample size, but it's also a size that I can sell because size 8. Is pretty common.
And can you alter things also? Well, once it's made, that's it, or can you?
Oh no! I keep working on it. You know, I sew it, and then I put it on, or I put it on the mannequin, and then I pin it more, and then I undo the sewing, and then I re-sew. So that's in the process of making a sample. But it's interesting because I made a drawing of this, and then the challenge is to... Oh, here's the train. You see the whole building is shaking when the train comes.
We have the same thing at the radio station.
Yeah, I heard it many times.
And so you do also, when you have a sample, then you could make another one.
Yes, so once I make this, once I make a piece... And I, it's a piece that I think works very well. Then first I make a drawing. Then I take some pattern paper. I am not a pattern maker, but I can figure out a few things. So I make a pattern. I cut the fabric. I put it together. And then I adjust it. And then I adjust my pattern. And then when everything works, I take that pattern that is not really a pattern, but it's a piece of paper with little notations on. I take that to a professional pattern maker whom I work with in New York, and then he does, he makes the pattern perfectly so the industry can read it. Because if I need to produce this jacket, I need to have a very good pattern that is going to be able to be read by people who are going to do it. So
and then at that same time, when the pattern is made, are they able to size that pattern then?
Yes, so that's called grading. So you grade the pattern up and down according to what size. So that's what I do with my jacket. I size up and down, and it's very important, you know, for production. That's something I learned too. Along the way, but some design really fit a certain size and don't translate very well in other sizes. We cannot grade everything; otherwise, it may look like very different piece of clothing. So this dress is good size 4 to size 12, I think. Yeah, maybe. Slim people, I would design something very different for some woman who is on the heavy side. I would take that body in consideration, you know.
Is that something, could someone come in and say, I want you to make me a dress, and you'd make something to order?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's also the nature of my business, you know. I love to work with people, and I love to create and collaborate. And somebody the other day, somebody came here, and she's getting married, and asked me to think about a dress for her. And that's a challenge for me. I don't really do wedding gown, but I'm really open to that, and I would love to do a dress. You know, anything is possible. That's my mantra. Anything is possible. it's I don't know, it's very challenges me and create new problems. I love to have a lot of problems to solve. Expands my mind, just like great music, just like jazz. It expands my mind, my consciousness. I would like people to know also that I carry some local artists here. I have a wonderful ceramist, Claire Catillas.
These are absolutely beautiful, these ceramics,
they are gorgeous.
Say.
Yeah.
And this is someone who's in the area?
Yes, she's in Catskill. She moved a few years ago from Brooklyn, and she is a master.
And now what is her name again?
Her name is Claire Catillas.
Claire Catillas.
She's wonderful, very talented. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, they have a sort of ancient feeling about them.
Yes.
I mean, the way they remind me of Persian glass in a way.
Oh, yes. She's a young woman who is a very old soul, and she has incredible skills.
And so she's making and firing everything in Catskill.
Yes, she has an amazing studio in Catskill, and that's where I met her, through a friend. I'm very lucky to have her show her work in my shop. She's well known and does well, and I don't know how much it is for her to have her work in, how much good it is for her to have my work in this little shop. So I'm very, very happy that she agreed to have her pieces here. And then I have also some oil that I make in my kitchen late at night. I do, I think the nose knows, and that's why I make some
essential oils.
Yeah, I mix some here. Try this. You put this on your hand. It's wonderful. So I have 2 ounces bottles of this really delicious oil mixed with 17 essential oil and with neroli. And I think neroli oil is the mother of all. It's an Egyptian bitter orange.
So you kind of never stop.
No, I never stop. I always have something cooking, and my oven is always on. And the stove too. I love making stuff. I love experimenting. And, you know, some of my friends are telling me, you're always busy. And I hate the word busy, but I am always busy. I'm always busy. But busy is not the right word. I'm
active.
Always active. There is not enough time in the day, so I have to make the time. I have to create that time. I also have the wonderful work by a girlfriend of mine from Bulgaria, and she makes beautiful jewelry and leather work, belts and bags. And I have the work of this wonderful milliner in Catskill. His name is Derek, and he makes beautiful hats. So.
Ah.
He made some hats for the store. That's what I like about the collaborative aspect of working with other artists here. He came to the shop, and then we agreed that he would make some hats for the shop. And a week later, he shows up with beautiful hats.
And what's his name again?
Derek.
He has a shop in Catskill?
He has a workplace and. I'm not sure. I don't think he has a shop, but I think he's talking about creating a space for customers to come and try hats on and buy hats.
That was terrific. I wish everybody would wear hats again.
Yeah, well, you know, there are many hats in this town. There's Behida, who makes absolutely incredible hats. Look at this one. Yeah, for a little town like this, there's many hats, right? There are 3 hat makers around. So that's more than designers, clothing designers.
Well, I guess that's really the incredible thing about Hudson, is you can sort of have innovative people. I mean, people starting something like a hat shop.
Yeah.
That just wouldn't be possible in the city anymore.
No. Well, that's why I moved here. I couldn't open another shop in New York City. The rents are so high. you know, a little shop like this would cost, I don't know, $20,000, $30,000, depending on the location. So for me, it's impossible. And for many like me, it's impossible. So I really encourage up-and-coming artists and designers to leave New York City and come up here.
How did you happen into the place? I guess it had gone vacant and you
saw it. Well, I heard that the woman who owned this shop, she was selling art supply. And I heard that she was going out of business, so I called the landlady of this building and I made a deal with her right away. Very lucky because, you know, I didn't have to give her any paid stubs or credit check, nothing like this. It was so easy. Maybe I get away with my French accent. I understand the privilege. And but it was easy, very cool. I love that kind of encounters and how things are happening, and that's pretty much how I like to live my life, you know. So she gave me a lease, you know, based on trust. And
And you opened in the summertime, I guess.
I opened in May. Yeah, so about 6 months ago. And it's been great. It's been wonderful. I love this town and its people. Something I've missed for so many years in New York City, the community. And I think the future is more communities being built that may save us.
Well, this has been fun, very interesting.
Yeah, you think I'm doing okay?
I think you're doing fine.
Okay. I hope people understand what I'm talking about. Well, if I have a last word to say, I'd like to thank everyone here in Hudson. And there's a future here for me, and I'm very happy about it. And yes, I want to thank everybody here who support me. And if you haven't yet, go to my Indiegogo campaign, Marine Penvern on Instagram. Check it out and choose your perks.
And there's also a video there.
Oh, yeah, there is a fun video. Just check it out. Look at the video. It's great. It's a great video that I made with my friend Jesse Hart, who's helped me through this whole campaign. And then you have a better idea of what I'm doing.
Well, thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
the Sonny Rollins Quartet with John Coltrane, Tenor Madness, from an album by the same name, 1956, Prestige Records.